Turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6. Just want to read a few verses, starting with verse 17. Paul says, "And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints, and for me that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." So ask God to help us this morning. Father, we thank you that we have your holy word. And Father, we ask you this morning to teach us truth out of your word that will conform us to the image of your Son. Father, we ask you this morning to teach us how to pray, Lord, how to come before your throne, Lord, and have sweet fellowship with you. Father, we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Last time that we met, I was on the midnight shift, so I didn't get to say everything I wanted to say about Ephesians concerning the armor of God. So we looked last time at the final and the sixth piece of the armor of God, and we said that all the other five pieces were basically the defensive weapons that God has given us that were provided for protection for our souls. Now the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, is a soldier's one and only offensive weapon. And we told you last time that there were no other offensive weapons needed, because having the word of God is all that we need. The Holy Scriptures are inspired by the Spirit of God, and they have been given to the people of God as a spiritual sword. You know, the Word of God is given to us for many other things, but when you talk about spiritual warfare, the Word of God is used as a sword to resist the devil and to cause him to flee from you. Now, the sword of the Spirit will always enable you to resist him, because you'll be able to set him to flight simply because he cannot stand against the word of God. 1 Peter 5:8 says, "Resist him steadfast in the faith." When you talk about the faith is the truth of the whole word of God. We gave you John 1:14. John says, "I have written to you, young men, because you are strong." And he says, "And the word of God abides in you." And then he goes on to say, "You have overcome," or "you have prevailed against the wicked one." So he's saying that because you have the word of God in you, you were able to prevail against the enemy of your souls. And then we remind you of Matthew chapter 4 that gave us the account of our Lord Jesus Christ's temptation in the wilderness. And he left us a perfect example of how and when to use the sword of the Spirit. You know, and when he used it, he did cause Satan to flee. He answered every temptation that Satan came against him with, "It is written," simply quoting scripture out of the Old Testament. So we gave you the exhortation when we left last time that you need to soak yourself in the word of God, because it's your protection when you're involved in spiritual warfare. And when you soak yourself in the word of God, it keeps your sword sharp and it's ready to use at all times. Because it's only through knowing the scriptures for yourself that they become the sword in your hands. So that makes a Christian always ready for Satan's attacks. And when he's armed with the word of God, in other words, when the Christian has his loins girded with truth, he can pull out of that truth and use it as a sword against the enemy of his soul. Now, I want to say one more thing about that this morning concerning the negative use of the sword of the Spirit. Because the problem here is that many have, and they still do, falsely teach or use the word of God to do Satan's work in this world. They falsely use the word of God to deceive and to lead a lot of people astray. There are cultists, there are false teachers and preachers that are not taught by the Holy Spirit, and they use scripture to propagate their false ideas upon the infallible word of God. Peter says in 2 Peter 2:1, "But there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you, And then Peter says this. He says, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who brought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. Peter also says in 2 Peter 2:2, he says, and many will follow their destructive ways because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. He also says in 2 Peter 3:16, he said, untaught and unstable people twist the scriptures to their own destruction. In other words, they distort the scriptures and pervert them. They take them out of context and they misinterpret them. One man says this, he says, so as in the case of false teachers and preachers, the word of God is a sword upon which they commit spiritual suicide. And then he says, taking their followers down to the pit with them. So just to leave you with two scriptures this morning before we look at prayer this morning, Revelation 22:18 says this, for I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And he's speaking, he's talking about the misuse and the abuse of holy scriptures. Nothing needs to be added to the scriptures. We have the full revelation of God that we need to walk with God. And then verse 19, he said, if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life, from the holy city, and from the things that are written in this book. So many use the sword of the spirit in a deceptive way. And as this man says, they commit spiritual suicide. Now, we want to come to prayer this morning. In Ephesians 6:18, Paul gives us the exhortation. He says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Now, some will say that when you get to prayer, that this is an additional piece of the armor of God, that it's the final piece of the armor of God. But that really is not true, because when Paul deals with these pieces of the armor of God, he follows his own analogy very carefully and closely. Because when you talk about the armor of God, when he uses this analogy, you remember that he has in mind a Roman soldier. And what Paul does is he takes the different pieces of armor that were on the soldier, and he one at a time names and describes these pieces of armor. And these six pieces of armor that we have just looked at make up the total picture of the whole armor of God. So when he gets to verse 18, he just exhorts them to prayer. He says you need to watch with all prayer and supplication in the spirit, watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. So the question we start with this morning is, what is the connection between prayer and the whole armor of God? What is the link that we have here? Because he said we need to pray always with all prayer and supplication in the spirit. Well, basically, simply, what Paul is saying this morning is praying in the spirit is something we must do and keep on doing as we use the whole armor of God. As we wage war with the world and the flesh and the devil, we must pray. Yes, we must carefully and diligently put on these different pieces of the armor of God. That's without question. But in addition to that, every Christian needs to always and at all times keep on praying. Praying is key to using the armor of God. One man quotes the verses of two hymns that will give us the proper interpretation of the connection between prayer and the armor of God. One hymn says this, and this is a short verse. He says, put on the gospel armor, each piece put on with prayer. And then another man says, to keep your armor bright, attend with constant care. He says, still walking in your captain's sight and watching unto prayer. So everything that we do must be done in the spirit and attitude of constant prayer. Jesus said in Luke 18:1, he spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not to lose heart or not to faint. And then he gives them the parable of the persistent widow and the unjust judge. We read in Romans 12, and there's many scriptures I could give you this morning. Romans 12:12 said, Paul exhorts the Roman brethren, continue steadfastly in prayer. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, Paul exhorts the brethren at Thessalonica, pray without ceasing. In other words, he speaks of continually praying. And of course, he says in this scripture, pray always with all prayer. Now, this is vital for you to understand this morning. The armor provided for us by God must always be used in fellowship and communion with God to be effective. You must know God in prayer for this armor to be effective. Don't make the mistake that as long as you have put the armor on, there's nothing more to be done. You know, I'll give you an example. You say, well, you know, I've read my Bible verse today and my chapters this week. I put on my armor. I'm good. I'm ready to fight. No, you're not. Because this armor does not just automatically or mechanically protect us. You know, there's no magic in putting this armor on. It does not mystically work for us. You know, you would say, well, now that I have it on, you know, I can put aside watching and praying. Now, putting on God's armor that has been provided for us does not do away with the biblical exhortation to watch and pray. Because not one piece of this armor, as excellent as this armor is, and it's a blessing that we have it, in and of itself will do us any good unless we at all times, always, are in a living relationship with God. Nothing that God promises us that we can use in warfare and fighting the devil and fighting the flesh, none of these things work if you don't have a living relationship with God. And so this armor is not going to be effective if you don't have a prayer life. And unless at all times and always we're in a living relationship with God, we will have no strength and power or spiritual energy in our souls to even use what he's given us anyway. And we won't have no confidence to use it. So the question is people will say, well, what is a living relationship to God? Well, one thing I know is involved in it is a persistent prayer life. How do people think that they can know God without ever talking to God? You mean, how can you know somebody without ever going to them and talking with them? You have to have a prayer life to know God. I didn't say that that's all you have to have, but that's a major part of you knowing God and you personally knowing him and able to use this armor that he's given us. There's a scripture, Daniel 11:32. This is a promise for God's people in the latter part of this passage. And I just want to read the latter part. He said, the people who know their God will be strong and carry out great exploits. If they know their God, they will be strong and they will do great things. Now, exploits simply emphasize great courage or bravery in accomplishing something in the face of danger or great odds or difficulties. In other words, to know God, is involved in diligent prayer. And if you know God, you're going to have courage and you're going to be brave. And the reason why you're going to be brave is not because of you. You with me? But it's because of him who you know. And you're drawn off the strength of God. And I'll tell you today, we have no strength outside of God. You know, so God gives us in his word how to tap into his strength, you know, how to tap into this strength so that we can use this armor of God that he's given to us. Paul starts out in Ephesians 6:10. He says, and this is before he even talks about the armor of God. He says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. So in order to tap into the strength and might of God, you have to have a persistent prayer life. Now, there's a lot of times we talk about weak Christians, and, you know, that's a true thing. There is weak Christians. There's reasons why Christians are weak. But the weakest Christians, whether they know it or not, are those who are prayerless. And if you think that you're strong and you're prayerless, you are absolutely deceived, because your strength comes from God. And, you know, I put it to you because I tell myself this all the time, you know, like if I'm trying to live on my own strength, I'm going down. And you say, when are you trying to live on your own strength? When I do not pray. When I do not want to pray. And I think I have the strength that I can walk through this wicked and evil world without drawing strength from God in prayer and being close to God in prayer. There's no way in the world I will make it. And so we're all weak. We're doubting. We're fearful. We're despairing. We're discouraged. But we are like that most of the time because we are not in personal communion and fellowship with God through prayer. So the apostle begins in this letter with prayer, specifically after the teaching of the whole armor of God, because it's the key for this armor to be effective in time of warfare. So because we have all these things, doesn't mean anything, because we can be utterly defeated because we rely on these things in and of themselves without having a relationship with God. Brethren, I'll tell you this morning, we need head knowledge. You know, I loved what we did in Sunday school this morning. We need head knowledge. You know, you need to know the word of God. But I'm going to tell you something else you need. You need knee knowledge. That's where you bow your knees before God. And head knowledge plus knee knowledge equals relationship with God. And if you have one without the other, at least if you had one without the other, if you at least prayed, you know, at least you're talking to God. But you got to have head knowledge too, so you can know how to pray and know who God is and all these things. But a lot of times we have the head knowledge, but we don't have the knee knowledge. You know why? Because the hardest thing to do is to be persistent in prayer. And so I pray sometimes. I say, Lord, make me love to talk to you. Y'all with me? I love to talk to everybody else. You know what I mean? Well, you know what I'm saying? You know, or about them. But anyway, you know what I'm saying? But make me talk. I don't even talk about God. I'm not going to do that. But you understand what I'm saying? I said, make me love to talk to you. Make me love to come to my prayer closet. You know, make me love to come to the prayer meetings. Make me love to do everything that has involved in prayer, because that's the hardest thing that a Christian has to do, is to consistently pray. So we don't want to point out the fact that we cannot fight Satan with philosophy or human wisdom and things like that. But we have to have, these are spiritual weapons that we're using, and we need to use them in the might and the power of God. Now, we can only successfully wage war with him with the truth of God's word that God by his spirit has provided for us. But we cannot fight Satan and the powers of darkness in our own strength and power. And that's what I'm emphasizing this morning. Because if you try to fight him in your own strength and power just because you know a few scriptures, that's what you call dead orthodoxy. That's formal religion. Because there's a lot of Christians that are sound in doctrine, yet they live defeated lives because they are prayerless. You know, sometimes we have to counsel people, and they come to us and they have great problems, okay? So first thing you ask them, do you pray? Well, not really. Then this problem is going to persist. Y'all with me? There's no magical formula in this. You have got to go to war. And God's giving you all these things to fight with, but you got to have a relationship to God to understand and to know how to use these weapons. And the ignorance is the fact that you don't pray. Paul says, pray always, because the devil's on the prowl always. Your flesh is on the prowl always. You know, everything bad in this world is on the prowl always. And until they put you 6 foot under the ground or the Lord Jesus returns, you need to pray. Me too. We need to pray. And I admit it's hard. But what you have to do, anything you do, just like you say, well, I'm going to go out next week and I'm going to start running 6 miles. How about getting up this morning and start praying 2 minutes? And then 3 minutes. Then 4 minutes. See, I'm giving you a break is when I could say a couple of hours. And then 3 minutes, come, you know, because I know we're not going to do it. I'm not going to do it either, you know. But you understand what I'm saying. But some people do at that, and they've done it in history. You know, they prayed and prayed a lot. And I don't tell people how long to pray. I just tell people, get in the habit of prayer. You know, get in the habit of talking to God every day. And I'll guarantee you, your life will change a lot. But Paul says, praying always. And what Paul is saying here is any kind of way that you can be involved in prayer, whether it's public or private, pray. Pray always, just because it's one of the greatest ways to become strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Because you're dealing with spiritual beings here, and it's all about the strength and power of God to defeat these beings that we are fighting in this world. Now, prayer gives to us the strength and ability to use all these weapons provided to us by God. What prayer does is it keeps us on the alert to be able to use the weapons when we get into warfare. You know, prayer keeps us on the alert to be spiritual ready to fight sin and everything that will come to in our life against us. You know, like prayer keeps us on the alert to be able to wage war when temptations come from nowhere in our lives, because a lot of times temptations overtake people because they are simply not ready. And, you know, I know it in my own life. You know, that's why I know I needed to get up and pray every day before I went to work, because I knew the temptations were coming and I had to have some kind of spiritual strength to fight the good fight of faith. So prayer proves one thing, and this is what prayer proves, is that we are utterly dependent upon God and the Lord Jesus Christ, and that without him, we can do nothing. That's exactly what prayer is saying, because he's our shield, he's our buckler, he's our God in whom we trust. And I tell you, brethren, we are overestimating ourselves as Christians when we don't pray. You know, we don't think we personally need to watch. When you don't pray, you're overestimating your strength and ability, as well as your faith and your wisdom. And we forget what the psalmist says in Psalm 39:4, how frail we are. How quick we could fall. You know what? I thought about myself the other day. I said, me at my very best, I'm only a vapor. And then I thought about this. And I'm only a spiritual tragedy waiting to happen. You say, what does that mean? That means if I don't pray, I'm going to be a spiritual tragedy. And that's all you are when you don't pray. You're just a spiritual tragedy. It doesn't mean that you'll forsake God or anything. There's just things that's going to happen to you in your life. You probably could have avoided if you would have bowed your knees and prayed and talked to God. Because if you don't have a prayer life, I tell you basically right today, you know, this is a rough message this morning, but I'm not going to stand at the door. I'm going to stand at the next one. So we got here. But if you don't talk to God, you have no spiritual strength. You're standing in your own strength. And that's the same for me. But we personally won't admit this, but when we are prayerless, we think more highly of ourselves than we ought. That's a passage that's used concerning the gifts and our relationship with each other. But prayerlessness can be a form of spiritual pride and self-sufficiency. And, you know, spiritually thinking more highly of yourself than you should, thinking that you can stand when God said you couldn't. You know, and I'll tell you, every time, all the time in our life, danger abounds. Pastor Derek taught on Paul when he's talking about, I know, in what situation to be content before the Lord. Well, we need God's protection in both the good times and the bad times. And you know when you need his protection the most? In the good times. Yes. You read Deuteronomy 8, because that's one of the things that Israel was warned about, is don't forget me when you get into the promised land. You know, a lot of people say, if I just had $1 million, I said, you don't need it because you wouldn't be a Christian no longer. Because you'd forsake God. You know, because in the good times, that's when we think we don't need God, and that's when you need him the most. When my health is good, the bank account's up, everything's flowing good. I mean, that's when you really think, well, yeah, I don't. And that's exactly the time when you're in the most dangerous time of your life. I like what the man said in Proverbs 30, verse 7 to 9. He says this. He says, two things I request of you. Deprive me not before I die. He says, remove falsehood and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty or riches. He said, but feed me with food allotted unto me, lest I be full and deny you and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and still and profane the name of the Lord. So in both situations, danger exists. So I'll take you back to the perfect example of why we need to pray. And if he prayed, we need to pray. Y'all know who I'm going to tell you. The Lord Jesus always prayed to his heavenly Father, and he taught us and his disciples to do the same. And this was the man, this was the Son of God, who possessed all knowledge to the point that he astonished the Jewish teachers and leaders. Yet there was always in his life, he stepped aside and made time to pray for his Father in heaven. We read of Jesus rising before dawn, before the sun came up, and he would spend times a whole night in prayer. Jesus knew prayer was important, and he knew prayer was absolutely essential and absolutely necessary for his ministry. And he knew that getting up and praying and communing with the Father was absolutely essential for him to finish the work that the Father had given him to do. Prayer is what kept Christ strong. Prayer is what gave him strength to endure the hostility of sinners. Because Jesus prayed because he knew the difficulty of his mission and that he must pray to draw strength from the Father in heaven, else he would faint and he would lose heart. And because he prayed and because he knew his heavenly Father, Isaiah 50 verse 7 said he set his face like a flint to get to the cross and to die. And when he was about to get to the cross, I asked my wife this question this morning. I said, what was the greatest war that's ever been fought? She thought for a while. We was eating breakfast. We thought for a while. She answered it. She said, Gethsemane. I said, yes, it was the garden. That was the greatest war in history. But you know how it was fought? Agonizing prayer. And Jesus prayed with his Father, and he agonized with his Father. And it was his prayer in the garden that propelled him to go to the cross. And you know what was the object of that prayer? Our salvation. Because Jesus came in this world. He did come into this world to save sinners. But there's something above that. He came into this world to do the will of God. And the will of God was that he die for sinners. And you'll always read when he talks about this that, you know, not my will, but thine be done. You know, I have finished the work which you have given me to do and things like that. His main priority was God's will. But God's will was to go and rescue a people for me. And so he couldn't do it without going to the cross. And so that's basically what prayer ends up being for every one of us in a lot of things in our lives. Not my will, but thine be done. And a lot of people say, well, I need to pray about this situation. Well, they'll go into the situation thinking that you're going to have your way. Because God may tell you another way he wants you to do things, and you got to listen to God. I'm not saying he's vocally speaking to you, but you understand what I'm saying. You go pray to God, Lord, should I do this or should I do that? You know, should I move out of town and just, you know, leave the church and stuff like that? God's going to say, no. Yeah, but I got $1,000 a week raise, God. So what people most time do is they quit praying because God gave them the answer. Then they come to the pastors and see if they'll agree, and then they'll move. You know, because they, a lot of times when people come to us in counsel, they want us to agree with them, you know, instead of them agreeing with God. And so when you get into prayer, a lot of times it's not my will be done. Prayer is thine will be done. And that's exactly why Jesus made it to the cross. Agonizing prayer. He won every battle against Satan while he walked this earth. And this was the last one he had to fight. And the victory of Jesus when he went to the cross, that victory was ours as well. Because of persevering prayer. So the point I want to make this morning is if the Holy Son of God had to pray, then how proud are we even to think it, that we don't have to? And the churches in this country are pathetic because of prayer. Satan doesn't care about activity. Y'all with me? You know, Satan really doesn't care about outreach as long as when you're reaching out, you're not praying. Because what your outreach turns into is humanistic hogwash. No, but I tell you something that will bring him down. A church that prays will bring down the kingdoms of darkness. And they will use the whole armor of God because they're ready to use the whole armor of God. They're equipped in prayer to use the whole armor of God. And they are able to fight against the enemy of our souls. But anyway, persevering prayer is absolutely necessary in spiritual warfare. Because when you pray, you get spiritual energy and zeal and motivation and confidence to fight. One thing that I get when I go to my prayer closet is God is for me. And that he, you know, I get courage and strength that comes basically from God, because it is he who will tread down our enemies. And so all comes to us through a relationship in our Heavenly Father, and that's simply through persistent prayer. And like I said this morning, I know it's not easy. But you know what? I'm not going to give you a way out. He said, pray always. That's a direct, I'm going to say command, exhortation anyway, from Paul to the church. Because Paul knew the importance of prayer, and the Ephesian church was just starting. And one thing he's saying is pray always with all prayer and supplication. Well, this armor does not supply courage and strength for us to fight and use it. This comes from the Holy Spirit of God as we pray. Jude 20, Jude says this. He said, but beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. And that's how you're building up your faith. That's how you're building up your spiritual strength. And so what I'm saying this morning basically is to use this armor, and for it to be effective, we must have a prayer life, personally and corporately. Because there is this enemy of our souls has not gotten any weaker than he was. He's always stronger than us, but he's not stronger than God. And he'll be on the rampage all your life. And I think times in history, he's going to get more on the rampage. And you're going to have to fight him with spiritual weapons. And even though prayer is not specifically a spiritual weapon that Paul said here, it can be used as a spiritual weapon when you come against the enemy of your souls. You say, I got a problem this morning. You say, I've got all these problems in my life. I don't know, is there a formula for it? You know, like, can you give me 6 steps where I can get things in order in my life? Yeah, pray, 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 pray. That's 6. Need another one? That's 6 steps. Pray. Because sometimes people want to rely on human wisdom. Bow your knees and tap in to the wisdom of God. Well, next time we'll look at praying with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and being watchful with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints, because that word all is very important if you look at the meanings of this term. I thought it was interesting. I was reading, and one man was talking about all prayer, and he said one prayer that we always pray is silent prayer. Silent prayer is when you pray in your mind to God. We all do it all the time. As you still stay connected with God all day long, and you know, you're standing there and you're standing in line at the grocery at the Walmart, and you said, Lord, give me strength to get through this, and tell that woman to hurry up, and you know, whatever else, you know what I'm saying, you know, and, move her out of the way or something. I don't say that, but you know what I'm saying. You're like, I pray there more than I do anywhere, I think. But anyway, you know, stuff like that, when you're just silently praying in your mind, Lord, give me patience, you know, help me to endure it. You know, help me to be sweet in this situation or whatever else. But we'll talk about that next week. Now, this morning, if you're here today and you're unconverted and outside of Christ, there's only one prayer you need to be praying right now. Because sinners pray for God's help when they get in a bind, or when they're on the, sinners really pray when they're facing death, or when tragedy comes in their life. And you know, that's okay when they're calling out for God for that. At least they acknowledge that there is a God. But for sinners, there's one prayer that is needed, and this is the prayer you only need to pray right now. It's in Luke 18. Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. And that's what this man did, and he beat his breath. You know, I was talking about the Pharisee and the tax collector when they went down to pray in the temple. And if you cry to God in this form, and you cry to God out of your heart with this, you will go to your home today saved and declare it righteous before God. You know why? Salvation begins with prayer. You ever heard pray the sinner's prayer? All the sinner's prayer is Lord, have mercy upon me. I am a sinner, and I'm not even worthy to stand in your sight. And so salvation starts with prayer. And as we grow as Christians, we need to build up a persistent prayer life to be effective in this world and to overthrow the devil and everything that he would throw at us individually and as a church. Till the world ends, none of this will change. This will never change. And when he says pray, we need to pray. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that we can come before the throne of grace for help in any time of need. And Father, we thank you that you bow down to even commune with us, Lord, as sinful and hateful and envious as we are at times in our lives. But Father, we ask you to teach us how to pray. Father, give us a desire to pray. Father, help us to be in stronger communion with you so that when we use this armor, Lord, we will be able to be effective in warfare. Father, we pray this morning that you would move on the hearts of sinners and cause them to say, Lord, have mercy upon me, a sinner, and save them this day in your house. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.